Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Young people, go on and stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
What's this?
think I wanna hit the horns.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the World of Porter and Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum, live from Studio A this morning. This beautiful, beautiful day on 9/11. Boy, it's one of those questions, where were you when 9/11, when America was on attack, under attack? We'll talk about that and some things associated with that. Also, the Queen of England had died, and they're going through a transformation of power where Prince Charles now becomes King Charles. We'll talk about that along with some other things. Black college sports at the top of the hour. A lot to talk about, so little time to do it. Let's go with it. We're going to bring in a special editor this morning, and we're bringing her up, and Miss Sonia Swanson. Good morning, Miss Sonia. All right, Miss Gunshot this morning. Miss Swanson? Okay, well, just press 1, Miss Swanson, and we'll get you back on. We'll get you back on. We're just trying to get a lot of contributors nowadays, and we appreciate it. If you got something to say or something to do, just press 1, and we'll get you right on the show. So, again, the Queen, I tell you, I've learned more history in 3 or 4 days than I think in my lifetime. Finding out how the Queen got started, she was born into royalty, of course, her being the oldest child, that's how she became the Queen of England. It was her longevity and the way the monarchy works is the oldest child becomes the heir to the throne, and her heir was Charles. Charles was Prince Charles. As long as mom was alive, then he becomes the king. Now, I want to ask you, with all the prime ministers and all the government, is this monarchy, is it viable? How much say would they have? I know the Queen may have had some thoughts on war and NATO, but I want to know, what's Charles' role? He is the figurehead. Will he be able to make decisions in 2022? Are they going to stick to the old remedies? When I say remedies, are we going to stick to the old ways of the country, or are we going to bring it up to 2022? That remains to be seen. But again, I have learned more about the Queen, and we'll talk about that and get your opinions on you, whether or not the monarchy is viable, if the monarchy is the way of the world, you know, whatever your thoughts is. I just threw that out there and want to hear from you as well. But, and also, the Russian troops flee Ukraine as forces make the rapid gains. Ukrainians are fighting back. And what's next? Prices are going down. Who will get the praise? Mighty quiet here, Congress. Mighty quiet. So we'll see what's going on. Movies are back up, and I wonder if everyone is starting to take advantage and feel like they can get back out safely. My favorite nurse is on the line as well. And when we talk about COVID is still rampant for y'all. So please, please be careful. People around you, they may not know. If they know, they're vicious people, you know, to jeopardize different people who they come in contact with. So we'll keep talking about that and give you some cases. Football season is here. Both college and pro, and we'll talk about that. That, you know, that gets me excited. We'll do that at the top of the hour. So, again, if you want to intervene, just go ahead and press 1. We'll get you in. I'll start out by reading our e-blast, and you can get online, too, and go to texasmetro.com and get online for the e-blast. The e-blast today covers quite a bit. Happy anniversary to Mr. and Mrs. Rodney B. Frazier, 6 years. Mr. Dante, Mrs. Shaquan Robinson. They're newlyweds. Anniversary of Pastors Derek A. and Aliyah Golden of 28 years. Remarkable. We have a feature now called One-on-One with Cheryl Smith, the award-winning Hall of Famer. I've been knowing Cheryl for many years, and that's just such a great accomplishment for her to be a Hall of Famer. I remember when she started at the Tallahassee Capital Circle, which is the African-American newspaper right there in Tallahassee, and her days with Dallas Weekly, and now with her own conglomerate of news resources, Texas Metro News, Garland Journal, as well as My Eye Messenger. They had a great turnout, folks, and I'm going through the blast, the e-blast now, great turnout of African-American Leadership Institute. We need to find out a little bit more about us. I know we're in a very diverse world, but you know what? If you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you're going. So we need to get a little bit more historical basis as far as what we do and what we've done in the realm of education, healthcare, civic engagement, economic development, criminal justice. And we had a lot of people participate on the educational State Board of Education Board Trustee, Asia Davis, Healthcare State Representative Tony Rose, Civic Engagement, Dallas City Councilman Casey Thomas, Economic Development Chair by Senator Royce, State Senator Royce West, and the Criminal Justice End, Dallas City Councilman Terrell Atkins. A lot of talent, a lot of talent, and we need our people to get in and learn. I see Diane Gibson was there, longtime radio advocate. Worked together over at KKDA. I tell you, I was a pup, man, in the game. And those folks, Cheryl, Willis Johnson, Roger B. Brown, you name it, Mary Ellen Hicks, came around just watching folks do what they do and propel me into the realm that I am now. I appreciate everything that they've done. Football is in the air. Don't forget the Grambling and Prairie View at the end of the month, actually October 1st. And hopefully we'll have some tickets for you on here, get you to do a few things. Last year we broadcast live. It's really tough. It's tough to do. I keep telling Cheryl, you're walking around, you're on the field, you're doing things, giving your own broadcast. You know I'm going to have a stat sheet, try to keep it going. Vegan, spotlight on vegan, sexy, cool. It's the modern guide to being a vegan and fabulous. The content that you would get from this is from a longtime journalist that's just trying to add a different flair to what vegan is all about. A lot of people are doing vegan, not doing much meat anymore. But I got to grow up. I got to grow up from that perspective. I really do. I must admit, now, some things I have vegan is very good, very tasty. The jackfruit ends up being like beef once they prepare it. Actually, pretty good, but we need some options. The reason I say that, it's amazing that a chick today in 2 weeks becomes a chicken. That's our little theory there. And speaking of animals, always support your pet population. Have your dog spayed or neutered. We have some participation in the back as well. Our superb woman of the day is A.J. Barkley. A.J. Barkley is a true servant leader, and bettering her community is what she is good at. All that you can find in our e-blast, and we'll give you additional information. 10 ways to boost your mental, top 10 ways to boost your mental health. Experiment. Try new things. Do that one thing that you've always wanted to do but never done it. Number two, take time to laugh. Watch a comedy or hang out with a person who makes you laugh the most. Laughter can help us calm down and to stop feeling anxious. Number three, get off the screen. Disconnect your digital world and spend time with others face to face. Practice forgiveness. It has been proven that people who you forgive or who forgive are better mentally. Create a journal. It's something that has been bothering you and you're tired of keeping it all in. Get a journal. Yawn. Studies show that yawning not only stretches the brain, it improves mental efficiency. Number seven, treat yourself. Go out and do something. Go shopping. Eat a few places. Go eat chocolate. Binge watch on TV. All of the above can help you treat yourself. We need to do more of that. That's number seven. Number eight, sleep. Sleep improves your bodily function. It makes for a healthier life. And let me tell you this, sleep is like refueling. Sleep is important if you're having some issues sleeping. I suggest that you get a sleep study and potentially get a CPAP machine. And we're going to talk about that for the rest of the year a little bit. Bring some experts on, and you wouldn't believe who's an expert on sleep. I'll put it like that. Read. That's number nine. Get close to a book. Get lost in a book. Take a break from anything that is stressing you out. Number 10, self-care. Practice self-care. Take a shower, brush your teeth, drink water, and any and everything ensure that you have a happier and healthier life. Those are things that we need to consider of taking care of ourselves. Again, 10 ways to boost your mental, 10 ways to boost your mental health. And all of those were presented by Kendall Gale Washington, better known as a trendsetter. The last word by Dr. Julian Malvo, student loan forgiveness, a drop in the bucket. If you have some student loans that you have out there, please go investigate how you can go and get those numbers down. The government is looking at a lot of the ways to trim your budget, and trimming your budget is getting those loans taken care of. Black History Moment on 9/11/1959, Duke Ellington gets a Spring Arm Medal for his musical achievement in 1959. We have more we'll go through in our e-blast. We're expecting someone to come on here shortly. It's good to see everyone in, and we have a special contributor. If you just press 1, I'll bring her in just to add a little flair. And if you have some information that you want to get across, just remember, you know, great content. Respect the fact that it is Sunday. Those are the only rules that I have. And all you got to do is press 1. And when you press 1, we'll get you right in. Now, I started out with saying the Queen passed this weekend. The question on the day, are monarchies relevant? I know it's kind of hard being here in America that we don't have that. But monarchy over in England, is it relevant? Does it have purpose? All of those involved, something to talk about. Let's have a conversation. Charles walks into a difficult time. The Queen has been around so long, so a lot of the things that she started with, they still respected that. But I wanted to know, do you think Charles is going to be as relevant as he needs to be? Okay, and just reading just provide us, if you don't want to come on air, just provide us with something through text. And my bad, I got you. But I want to hear, folks, what is your one of those moments? Where were you? How do you feel about the Queen passing? All you got to do is press 1. And we're going to have a very interactive show this morning. So just press 1. Let's see what we get. We got Harold. We'll bring him up. Good to see you there, young fella. Good morning. Welcome to the world according to Drew.
Good morning.
All right. Sound like this. We're going to have to get you on the 10 ways to relax yourself.
No, man, I just kind of got off this morning, took a good shower, man, and before I knew it, it was
already past the preaching time, huh?
Yes,
always
sir. Yes, sir.
Look, all right, just quickly, where were you when you found out the Queen passed? Just, you know.
The Queen passed?
Your thoughts? In a roundabout way.
I don't even remember.
Okay.
I was with my uncle. Actually, we were doing some things at the VA. We were getting ready to, we were in the eye clinic, the VA.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, one thing about that, the Queen has been in ahead of that monarchy for many, many years. Started as a young lady, a lot of people over in England, should I say, in that part of the world, did not think she could be as royal as she's always been. Charles, who comes in at the age of 72, they didn't expect mom to live as long, but long live the Queen. That used to be their phrase. And Queen Elizabeth II, I mean, she reigned, got a lot of respect, but we all know it was more of a, as we call it, a monarchy. You had the Prime Minister, Boris, over there, who's now resigned. And it's just funny how things transpired. She welcomed a few days prior to her death the new Prime Minister of England. And she looked very strong that particular day. But then, you know, I'm thinking deep down in my soul is that she probably missed, I can't even think of what's the father name that died? Her husband.
I don't know, Andrew. I mean, I'm really
okay.
Not, you know, I'm not in tune with that. Let's just put it that way.
All right. It's Prince Philip. I wanted to see who was going to light up and give us an answer. But, yes,
mm-hmm.
It was Prince Philip. And then their oldest born, which is Charles. Charles becomes Prince Charles. Now he's the king of England. And it's going to be interesting. Is he going to be a figurehead? Is he going to be put in the mix for decisions? You know, again, how strong would the monarchy be now with Philip? With Charles, excuse me. Something to think about. I know you've worked all night and just do the best you can. I know I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
But it is football time, Harold, as well, and we get on the brighter side of things with the football. And I tell you, don't forget to put your picks in today.
You told me that the other day, and I still haven't went on, have them.
No, sir. But that's okay. That's okay. You can go ahead and you only missed one game. That was Thursday night. So need you to get on board.
I'm still trying to figure out where did you send this link to. You sent it to my email?
Yep, I can send it to your phone. As soon as we get off the air, I'll send it as well. You got a little bit of time. So, folks, there's just so much going on. School started. Uvalde still in the headlines. They have a new elementary school that they're going into. They had a big football game. Since we've been on the air Friday. I want to say good morning to Dallas Independent School District. I guess I overdid it last week by going to two games, South Dallas Super Bowl and Oak Cliff Super Bowl. I caught both of those games last week. Didn't do anything on Friday. I'm trying to go to at least one high school football game a week. And so since I did two, I took time off to just kind of do some things I needed to do. But I'm going to be back on that spin. Good morning, Paul Quinn College. They're starting to kick up a little bit. They had the Labor Day holiday, soccer and volleyball. And I tell you, Harold, as we mature in age, it gets a little harder and harder. You know, you got it down packed. And then there's always somebody throwing a curveball to you. But, you know, I love baseball. And the thing is, you jump on a fastball and you react to a curveball. So as much as they're throwing that curve, got my hands back, swinging for the fences. So those are the things that we have to do in life. And, folks, I did read those things, the stressors, to reduce stressors. Please take heed to that because we only get one time in this life. This thing called life sounds like Prince this morning. And let's enjoy it as much as we can. So the question today, when you come on, ladies and gentlemen, about Charles, is it relevant in the monarchy? Is it relevant in the monarchy? We'll go through that a little bit later. But something to think about. We want you to, at any point, just press one. We'll get you in to talk about it this morning. All right, Harold. Anytime, feel free to jump in. I understand you've been working and rolling this morning.
I do have a question because, like I said, I didn't what you were covering today. Have you touched on the day that it's the anniversary of the bombing of the tower and with the airplanes flying into it?
Yes.
Are we all queen? Are we all queen this morning?
No. It's a little bit of everything. You got a lot going on this morning. Of course, you know my favorite is going to be at 9 o'clock, Black College Football. So that's my favorite. But we talked about 9/11. It's one of those things. Where were you? I'll start out because we'll get your feelings. And anyone else, all you had to do is press one. I'm looking at TV, and I see that an airplane hit the building. So first of all, I really thought I was looking at King Kong or something. You know what I'm saying? But I said, no, that's too real. And I saw pictures before I got wording. And I just think it was a travesty for our country. George Bush was in Florida. I think he was in Jacksonville when he got the word that America was under attack. They politely whispered in his ear. He left the classroom. From what I understand, he flew from Jacksonville straight to Shreveport out to somewhere in the Dakotas, a safe haven for him. And I tell you, every time our president gets on that tarmac, Harold, there is a plan if there is a disaster. There's a plan, emergency plan, to get him out. And also the vice president to get them out of harm's way. They go to a secluded place. Only the chief of staff, possibly the pilot, and a few other people, maybe the generals, would know where. I don't even think the president would know where they're going. I remember when I used to work at Parkland in the ER, anytime we had a dignitary to come to town, we would have one ICU bed ready. We will have one operating suite ready. And we would just be on alert. They had the red phone. You know, we always think about the bat phone that was always pulled out, one in ICU, one in the ER, that would give us if anything was to happen with the president. Now, we know Dallas had such a storied history with the president, starting with King. I say King. Let me retract that. Even people like Dr. King and others would have the red phone and the dignitaries. But when Kennedy came through the year that he was assassinated, they were ready. They were ready. They may not have had the red phone, but they were on alert. If you know the history of how President Kennedy coming down Houston Street made that turn down, got shot, they got on 35, went up maybe a mile, mile and a half, and got off at Parkland. At the time, that was the newest Parkland, which is now the old Parkland. And they had some reps that represented that time during our American history. So most cities are prepared when an activity occurred like that. And it was just, I always call it the cloud over Dallas. And that's why I pray every time a dignitary comes to town, just get them out, be able to get them out. Because we don't need that umbrella anymore. And it's just, you know, just part of how I, you know, how I think for Dallas. Okay. So, Harold, what was going through your mind when you found out on 9/11?
Well, I remember where I was. I was in my driveway getting ready to climb into my service vehicle with the phone company and go to work. And I just immediately knew, you know, all of that. Remember, I don't know if you remember, but all of the speculation was it an accident? Was it this? I immediately knew that this country was under attack and we were at war.
You see, you have a different insight, and I was away from the television, and I had to kind of get my thoughts together on what was really transpiring. But it's just amazing how something turned around, three or four airlines, and they really focused on American, United. See, everything stood for or was named after our country. And I don't know if a lot of people recognize that, of how they selected them.
In hindsight, I did, but I just remember that one of those flight numbers and the flight itself was a exact flight that my sister was using quite regularly at the time. So she was the first call that I made. And when I heard her voice, it was just a sense of relief. And that's when she was able to turn it on and actually see the second one hit the tower. Because I said, I learned of it over the radio. So listening to the Dear Krona show, that takes you back.
And right before you came on, I was talking about that as well. Some of the people that helped me get where I am today, with Dan Kruna, with Willis Johnson, Roger B., may his soul rest in peace. You know, the neighbor, Cheryl, of course, Mary Ellen Hicks, Sharon Patterson, the late Adrian Drake, you know, a lot of people that I came in contact with, and John Wiley Price, Commissioner John Wiley Price. Those were people that were very instrumental in the start of what's going on. But again, you know, we found out that we were under attack. Again, George Bush was president, speaking to some kindergartners or early educated, early levels of education for our children, and zipped off to Barksdale. And Harold, you being a military guy, I did not realize the importance of a lot of our bases. As I get older, I really see how they're positioned. MacDill was one that was in Tampa. They protected the west coast of Florida. You had Homestead down in Miami that took care of the bottom, along with Key West. And then you had the Cape on the other side that had full artillery. You had Jacksonville had the naval set up. Pensacola had it set up. Panama City, Destin, all of that. So I understood as I got older the importance of our military, how strategically they were placed in our country. So, folks, I mean, just got to know what's going on throughout the country, know what to do. You kind of get your own home disaster plan together for you and your family, know what to do. I know we practiced over the years, Harold, tornadoes here at the house, what to do. Because this time and era, people are a lot more expressive than they've ever been in this country. And you almost have to have your head on a swivel. You know, be aware. Don't be so naive about things or your surroundings. But 9/11, we went into a mode of they got the people in mind who may have done it. And over time, Bin Laden and people of that stature became heads on the list. By the time President Obama got in, they started trying to rid some of the people who were going against NATO and basically against the world, hurting people. So a lot was going on during that era. But the two questions for today, one being, where were you with 9/11, and also whether or not the monarchy will still hold with Charles, King Charles, holding the cards right now. All you got to do is press 1. Let's get your thoughts in. Just remember, it is Sunday morning, so you can be expressive. Try not to curse. Try not to curse. That's just my little disclaimer this morning. I see we have some representatives from the Tampa area code, Dallas-Fort Worth area, and then we have Harold stepping up this morning. I know he has to go to church, so we'll get him in.
I need to be kind of getting dressed now. I'm just still laying here listening to you.
So you'll be ready, because I'll never hear the end of that one. So never hit any of that. So, folks, all you got to do is press 1. You press 1, I'll get you on. And just kind of give us a feel of those two items, whether or not the monarchy has the relevance it once did over in England, and where were you for 9/11. So press 1, I'll bring you up. I always tell folks, don't be shy. They can't see you. They hear you, but they can't see you. But, Harold, we're going to be fixing that soon. We're going to want, like, television.
Bless your heart.
All right, folks. Oh, boy. I tell you another thing, too, Harold. I want to throw it in there while everybody's getting their strength to press 1 so we can get them on. The president is doing a forgiveness for a lot of us students. If you have some students that may have some debt, they need to look into that program since they're giving some forgiveness on your loans.
That's an interesting thing this time around, Andrew, because I've heard a lot of, in our community, of some people that have paid off their debt and all this other stuff. And they're like, well, what about me? So that always happens.
you know, they're looking for debt, but usually if you paid it off, you're kind of in pretty good shape. Because some people have, I mean, I had a frat brother maybe end of last year, he completed all his debt, and we went out and celebrated that he made his last payment. He was able to do it, you know, through his employment, which is good. It would be nice if people could be reimbursed, but they're looking for those who have been struggling. And most of the time, Harold, those who have already paid were not struggling at that particular time. They could be struggling now, but that's something to look at. But they're looking at ones with debt on the table.
I can't really relate to that. So that's all I'm gonna say, because I didn't never take out any loans. It was either pay as you go type of situation. But you and I both know people that have graduated years, and they were struggling. I mean, you might not have known it, but they were struggling. That's why they were trying to pay off as quickly as they could. So
right.
I can't really relate with that on a personal level. So I'm just, you know, who are we to say they weren't struggling is what I'm basically saying. So
right.
I think that everybody who had to take out those loans, and even though, like you just said, your frat brother who went out and celebrated that he paid it off. I mean, I can't say that he wasn't struggling while he was paying.
Right. Well,
if
you
he
know,
wasn't struggling, he would have wrote one check and just, you know, wrote it off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's flossing there. That's a whole different conversation. But I can't say
right.
that. You know, those who struggle, and I'm going to add another word, and then to those who have made sacrifices to make it happen.
Right.
So. I know if you give a dollar a day, keep giving a dollar a day, you'll have $365 at the end of the year, that type of thing. It's small, but you can put things in. I know in the past I've had my makeshift Maxwell coffee can. Remember how our grandparents used to put money in the coffee can? They used to do that. And so I just collected, did a dollar, some change every day, and then mounted up. I was very fortunate where I went to school. I didn't have any debt walking out. I was very fortunate with that. But then again, you know, I still saved a dollar a day. And, you know, that's $365 and $366 some years. Just saving a dollar. If you can do more and just see how it goes. I tell you, put it in the bank now. Don't try to bury it in your yard. Somebody will come get it. Look, back in the old days, see, we didn't have the wood plank fence. We had the chain link, meaning that they could see everything going on in your backyard. And they see you out there burying a can, you better believe when they know you gone, they coming back there with their shovel. See, we can get away with that now. But, folks, it's just, you know, it's the sacrifice that we make. And, Harold, I say that to say this. We can do anything else we want to do when we do it. We can go make that trip to Hawaii, go to the North Pole. It's a sacrifice. As well, you know, they always sell loans, pay something, don't have them aggressively come and get it, pay what you can. They've been very flexible, but now with the president trying to reduce debt, and you know, Harold, it's a great thing what he's doing, but we know what he's trying to do. It's all part of that political ploy. Can I change a vote? Can I keep a vote? You know, it's good for the American people. You know, the president, one thing about the president, I don't care who's been the president, they get a lot of blame, but they don't get a lot of fanfare about things they may have done. Gas is going down. I haven't heard anything from the other side about the president when it comes to gas prices. some places even below $3. Can you believe that? I think it's $3.02. You take your 10 cents off or whatever. That's $2.92, $2.93. So things are bouncing back a little bit as fuel prices are going down. Airline tickets are, they're in a holding pattern, really, on their tickets. But, we'll keep an eye on that as well. So much is going on, so little time to talk about. Folks, where were you? Again, the question, where were you 9/11? And the other question about the monarchy, its relevance to you? Or do you think it's relevant to or for the folks of England? I know we got some educated folks on this end. Do you think, Harold, if we had a monarchy in America, could it work?
That's a tough question to answer just off the top of my head. I mean, because, you know, there's a school of thought that brings how to do what we have now. So I doubt very seriously if it would. With no pre-thought into it.
Right. Well, I tell you this, some presidents, I refuse to say certain names, tried to create a monarchy, tried to create a lifelong gift, his lifelong gift to the world in this country. Now, if it's for all the wrong reasons, I don't think it worked anywhere. But if you're all about the people trying to make sure that they get what they need, not just some, but all, then I think it could work. But people now, Harold, are so independent thinkers, are thinking independently on their wealth and what they're trying to achieve. In America, I don't think, we can't go back. We never were under that particular rule. I don't think it'll work in America. Dictatorship. Now, they can try to dictate, but you know, we still have the power of the vote, which is being challenged now. And I'll say this disclaimer, folks, make sure you get out and vote. Folks in Georgia who are on the line, make sure you get out, pick your candidate. By not participating, you have just given the opponent a vote. So get out there and exercise your vote. I know you have all kind of restraints with using the restroom and people can't bring you food. You can't, come on. What does that have to do? We trying to deter you from voting. Now, if it wasn't Sunday, Harold, you know I'll be using some other kind of word, but I try to respect the fact that it is Sunday morning. And that the pet population should be spayed and neutered. He is having his good time this morning. So, folks, just press one. If you have anything else that's going on, I know we have some, I have some great friends that are in town for the Tampa Bay Dallas Cowboys game this evening. They went through.
Wow,
if you want to
hold another story. Miss that because I will be at work. I would have loved to see how that game's going for old live, but I will watch the replay sometime tomorrow.
Yeah, but the thing is, you'll know the outcome.
Well, maybe not, because like I say, I'll be at work, so I'm not going to pay much attention to it and just kind of watch the game in private of my own. On my own.
You don't need me texting
right.
You to score.
You want me to make some picks and all that stuff, don't you, sometime today? I'm actually going to try, Andrew. I'm not going to make no promises, but I'm going to try to get to that. But I'm going to be honest with you, it's very low
on my scale of things I got to do today, but I'll try.
Well, you know, we try to, you know, I open the show up with a lot of stressors, and we're just trying to reduce some of that stress in our life. With that football pool, no money attached. You know, I leave that up to you guys. It's a matter of having fun, a little outlet in things that we've deal with on a daily basis. So that's what I'm trying to do. And I stress that to everybody. Have some type of outlet.
See, I'm not a gambler, though. Oh, that alone is not a big – that's not something that interests me. I mean, I've never been one of those – got to be on a football board. It's just not me. I mean, I'm not knocking it, but it's just not me. So I watch for my entertainment, that only.
I hear you. But see, you one in a million.
Yeah.
You're in a million. You one in a million. Yes. I tell you, when I moved here, I had no idea what a football pot was.
It's just so amazing to me now that, you know, how sports used to be. As a matter of fact, you know, you can't help but Pete Rose comes to mind. Lifetime ban for gambling. Now you listen to the ads, you would think that's all it's about.
Yeah.
I believe I promote the exact time. Cowboys even have some ownership in some of this gambling stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So
well, you know, Jerry,
also,
Jones, look, Jerry Jones ain't going to miss nothing.
Well,
Jerry Jones, we know living here in the Dallas Metroplex, Jerry Jones got his hands in everything. I explained to my friends from home. He's also in the stadium-making business. You see all these new parks popping up around the National Football League? Oh, yeah. They got a little Jerry Jones in them. Got a little Jerry Jones. But again, Harold, hold your thoughts. Press 1 again. Just press it, and I guess I missed it. I can see it here on my board. If you press 1 and wanted to get a conversation in, and the questions or if you have some alerts you want to get to us, just press 1. All right, I'm looking up again.
Quick shout-out to the Adaptive Training Foundation, man. That's part of the reason why I'm kind of moving a little slow today. They had a commemoration workout in honor of the first responders and military veterans on yesterday, man. And I tell you, my old coach got the muscles of mine feeling it and screaming at me this morning, Andrew. That's the only way I can really express that over the air as I bend over to put on my shoes and act like I need some assistance with it.
Understood, my man. Understood. But you know what?
It was an amazing event just to see, man, people in there with, you know, missing limbs, legs, and I'm over here hurting trying to do my little sit-ups and push-ups, man. It's kind of extra motivation, I will admit to you, bro. So I might have overexerted myself trying to not look too bad, trying to keep up with my little buddy and my coach. So
your buddy, your coach, and I'm sure he had a nicer it's Sunday morning. I'm trying to fix it the right way. He had a beautiful sword.
It was nice. That's all I can say. It was nice.
So you up there trying to work out hard. Everybody going
right
home enjoying stuff, and you hurting.
Majorly, okay?
You hurting.
Trying to suck it up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but
I mean,
so you can laugh one day.
They all pitch in and helping you and cheering you along, you know what I mean? They just really cheering me on.
Yeah, it's going to take you a week to recover. So you'll be all right. They'll see you next week.
Next year. They'll see me at the next big event.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Very interesting. Yeah, but you know what? We all need to do something today because, you know, it might be an elbow today, a shoulder tomorrow, a knee, as we mature. And most of us mm-hmm. who are listening, you know, we got more days behind us than we do in front of us. So let's try to enjoy those quite a bit. Let me, we had a caller said that they pressed one. I'm going to go ahead and press one and bring them up. We're dealing with 813, good old Tampa, Florida. Good morning. Welcome to the world, according to Drew. What's going on in your world?
Good morning, Drew. Everything is going great in your town. Looking forward to the Bucks beating Dallas Cowboys. So having a good time so far.
Okay. I'm surprised Harold didn't say that. Harold is a diehard Cowboy fan, too. But, you know, my loyalty, I'll go ahead and make
it
public.
Yeah, but I'm a realist, though, so, hey, I'm a realist.
Don't talk bad about them Cowboys. But, no, I have three. Let me go ahead and put it on the record. I have three favorite teams. A lot of people say, how can you have three? Well, before we had the Buccaneers, all we had was the Dolphins. So I am always soft to the Dolphins. And then in 1976, when the Bucs came along, how can you not root for your own home team? I know some people here in Dallas don't like the Cowboys, quite a few. But it's not the ones that were born and raised, it's kind of hard for them not to do it because they came along during a time when there was a lot of winning. And then the Cowboys has always been my team as well because they had some rattlers on it. And Harold, my friend that I'm talking to now, the childhood friend, she went to Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah.
And we split it down the table. So we definitely understand the rivalries and everything, but it was so good seeing you all on yesterday. It just, you know, it warmed my heart just to see. I never met Quentin. But I knew about mm-hmm. Quentin. And, you know, knowing Robbie, he was a baby, you know, mm-hmm. that just kind of reminded us, Diane, that we're getting a little young. Getting a little younger.
Absolutely.
But I appreciate you all, and I hope you enjoy your stay. And you're always welcome. Come on back. We're here. As we talked yesterday, I wanted to. You know, I still would love to get back to Tampa and just kind of, you know, just see. Might be the place where I kind of put my head down. Mm-hmm. But who knows? I still still working, trying to get to that point.
Yeah.
But what do you think of the city? I know you've been here. You were here with a tour group before.
Yeah, about 10 years ago with the Michael Matthews play. And we stopped in Dallas for several shows, and I saw quite a bit then, but I wasn't driving then, so I was on the tour bus, and you know, took me around, took several of us around the city, but you know what I've seen so far is beautiful. We went to the rally day yesterday, and the stadium is awesome. Really, it is. But I've been enjoying the city while I've been here. It's been great. Yeah.
Great.
To answer your question, though, where I was on 9/11, I was living in Naples, Florida. I was working for State Farm as a claims adjuster when 9/11 happened. And I think about that, of course, all the time on 9/11 where I was. Thinking, you know, oh my gosh, you know, I was at home that day for some reason and watching Price is Right. And when I heard about it, issues had already started, and I saw it, I'm like, oh my, and it's just a moment that, you know, that you never forget.
Mm-hmm.
Today, appreciative of the first responders, that we have today who are firefighters, hospital personnel is appreciative of them, especially also through the pandemic, the sacrifices health personnel have made. But we're here today, and we've learned to move forward. Most of us have learned to move forward, move past it, learn from it. And to King Charles, I think the monarchy there would be, I think he continued the legacy of his mother. I think I hear maybe a little bit more compassion from him, I think. But, you know, it remains to be seen what happens. But I feel positive for England under the new reign. And he's been taught well for decades. So,
oh, yeah.
I don't think he can mess it up, but I think it can be improved. I think he'll look at some things to improve the agenda that his mom has set for so many years.
And now William, Prince William, now is in the hot seat now.
Yeah.
So if anything, to Charles, he would be next in line. I think about the relationship of him and Harry. They're always going to be brothers. They have had some disagreements, especially with the new sister-in-law, believe it or not. A lot of them are thinking that things, unfortunately, may have been watered down, I'll put it like that, to them, which is very unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But we know what that's all about. Diane often asks, it don't take but one scoop of Nestle Quick to change the milk. That's all it takes, one scoop.
Right. But I'm glad he reached out to his brother. And however, you know, just what I've read, that he reached out to him to but I'm sure Harry would have come back anyway, but I was glad that, you know, that relationship seems to have improved a little bit as far as we could see on the television. I was watching them at the parade or whatever they were doing, and it seemed to have improved. You know, times bring about a change, positive or negative, but I think this change would lean more toward positive. It's been time, and maybe they now understand where they both are coming from.
Right.
And be able to, there's a lot more important things in the world. You know, Harry needs to do, Harry needs to be allowed to do what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. And well, he's an X factor for the family. You know, he understood the hierarchy, and he just wanted to be himself because he's been questioned about a lot of the activities that he's performed or been part of. And, time will heal quite a bit. And I take heed to that because of things that I am going through personally as well. You know, it's just everybody want to create their own footprints in the sand. And it's a process. Trust me, it is a process that you have to go through.
Yeah.
But let me, while I have you on here, we look at September 11th, 2001, 19 territories were members, 19 terrorists, excuse me, who were part of Al-Qaeda, Islamic extremist network, hijacked four commercial planes, and in a coordinated attack, the hijackers intentionally flew two of the planes into the Twin Towers, which is Twin Towers there at the World Trade Center, and a third into the Pentagon. You know, learning about other hijackers and passengers and the crew members of the fourth plane, they kind of put a counterattack, and that's how they missed. You know, they never did get off the ground there in Pennsylvania. They got off the ground and crashed. So nearly 3,000 people were killed on that day, and the single largest loss of life resulting in foreign attack on American soil.
Yeah.
So those 21 years ago, that on this day that we had the 9/11, And if I'm not mistaken, they were looking at United, American, everything that had a name dealing with the United States. They didn't get Southwest. They didn't get Delta. If I'm not mistaken, please correct me if I'm wrong, but they wanted something that stood for the United States or had America in it. And that's how they selected. But again, I could just think about, too, when we looked at our president, who is a Dallas resident, the president at that time, George W. Bush, and they got him from Jacksonville to Barksdale, which is in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I mentioned earlier, I'll be wrong, that for every time the president leaves, they have a disaster plan.
Right, absolutely.
And they also, people don't know, they have some F-16s flying on each wing. So if they're ever under attack, they got some boys, or young ladies, excuse me. I don't want to leave anybody. They have some military presence flying from wing to wing, front and back, just in case someone tries to attack the president. So we've learned a lot from this terrorist thing. It's very unfortunate. You may have people from that country that are over here that enjoying the American soil, but they kind of get to eye. Everybody looking like, okay, now, what he or she going to do? And as a black man in America, we've had that eye the whole time. So, which is very unfortunate for us because we're not into that. But, again, for American security, you know, they have people of interest that they keep their eye on quite a bit in this country. All right. So let me get back to the sports thing. And folks, please feel free. We're talking about where were you with 9/11. And also, you know, we want you to think about some other things that have transpired in your life. And we'll just press one. I want to make sure that is working for us. Hell, press one and release it again so I could see if it's working. Might be something on my computer. Okay. But, Diane, I know you're here for your bucks, our bucks. And to get back to the question, whoever needs the game the most, I hope they get it because it doesn't matter. When those three play each other, you know, it's just whoever wins or whoever needs it the most. I'm fair
and
about
by the
that
way, I am a Dallas Cowboy fan as long as they're not playing the Bucks. I am a Miami fan as long as they're not playing the Bucks. I'm a Pittsburgh fan as long as they're not playing the Bucks. But
yeah, I already like her. She's honest. See, this is an honest sports fan we're talking to, Andrew. And I can appreciate that. Because I'll be honest with you, I love the Bucks when they had Tony Dungy and Warren Sapp. I still maintain that was Dungy's Super Bowl when came down there and just beat John Gruden. That was Dungy's Super Bowl. So.
It was his. But I'm glad he got his Super Bowls in.
That's true. You can't help but be a fan for a guy like him, though. You can't help it.
But, Harold, I can share this with you. Now, when they wasn't the Bucks, they were called the Sucks.
We were called the Buccaneers.
I was supporting the fans, and they always called them the Ain't. So, you know. Until they started winning. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I can say this. I know we have some Saints fans on the phone. When the Bucs were just starting out the gate, they had over 30, a couple of seasons of victories, non-victories, excuse me. But the first team we ever beat in the National Football League was the New Orleans Saints. So we're very appreciative to the New Orleans franchise. They started us in our winning ways. I'm going to get it for that one. But we're so excited, folks. You know, it's something about football. I'm pretty good year-round.
because I'm an avid baseball guy. And when there's no basketball, no football, I could do baseball. I don't have no problem with baseball. But now, you know, it's amazing how people can come together, all walks of life. On now we got 3 days to get it together, but on how Sundays are. And Diane, the game starts here at 1 o'clock. I mean, at 2 o'clock. Oh, I'm going the wrong way.
Well,
at 12 o'clock. And I bet you can bet every church in Dallas, Harold, they on speed dial that week. The pastor is some of the shortest.
Hey, Andrew, I was going to say this, man. I didn't get to go to the game, obviously, because I was working last night. But, man, I have a little cousin whose son is playing for DeSoto, and they beat South Oak Cliff. Have you caught wind of that yet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I was like, I know they're excited, you know, because you know how that is. You playing the defending state champs. I'm sure that was their Super Bowl, if nothing else. But yeah,
right.
They really
have to remember
up. So shout out to those DeSoto Eagles this morning.
Yeah, but you have to remember too is the size of the school as well. It's a lower classification.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now, when you go to DeSoto, they're one of our powerhouses. They may have 70 kids on the field or more. And Sauk may have 35. See the difference?
Very true analysis, Andrew. You're very so correct. You're very correct.
But you know what? It's not always the size. It's the size of the players, the size of the heart in the player that make a difference. And Sauk has really turned that thing around. Diane, Sauk is like old Blake or Middleton to a lot of the folks.
Oh, I see.
South Oak Cliff. And I'm telling you, people come out from the woodwork when they play somebody. I mean, some of them still wearing a shirt from 1960 where they got to bend it out in the late 60s, early 70s. But they come up and they show up for their schools. And I tell you, since I'm speaking to a Floridian, here's a question. I'm going to pose it to you because I've always posed it to people who live in Texas. From your perspective, who has the best high school football?
In Tampa, I haven't followed football in a while. My nephew, who's here with us, since he's played. Plant used to be the school in Tampa,
uh-huh.
But they have not done well in the past few years. Tampa Bay Tech, who was like the Bucks back in the day, is one of the powerhouses in Tampa now.
Right.
So,
and Lionel Bryant is one of the coaches. Yes. Mm-hmm. And Harold, I'm going to translate that to you.
He coached Tampa Bay Tech?
Yes, Lionel's the coach with them.
Oh,
I think they lost in the championship game this past season.
Wow. Yeah, so Tech is doing really good. So, but I just haven't followed it. My cousin's son plays for a private school, so I've just been following his game, Carol, with day school. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, but since we're in the spirit of football, Harold and Diane, it's that time. We ran over a little bit, but I'm going to take care of everybody. Here we go.
Yeah.
Good morning, good morning. It's Black College football time. We'll be talking to you from that side. God, not today. Yeah. So much going on. So much going on in football. On yesterday. It makes me feel like this. Football action over the weekend was Brooklyn Golden State 43, North Carolina A&T 3. Austin teams received this week's basketball. 41 is enough. South Carolina State over Bethune-Cookman University 33-9.
James Madison over Norfolk State, 63-7. UCLA over Alabama State, 45-7. North Carolina Tech over Alabama State, 41-0. Delaware over Delaware State, 35-9. North Texas over Texas Southern, 59-27. Jackson State and the John Merrill Classic in Memphis, 17 over Tennessee State, 16-3. Tulane over Auburn State, 52-0. Hampton defeats Tuskegee, 42-10. Towson State over Morgan State, 29-1. South Florida over Howard, 42-20. Florida over Alabama A&M, 38-17. Rambler beats Northwestern State, 47-1. Arkansas Pine Bluff, 76 over North America, 3. Did they play? What? That's pretty good. LSU over Southern, 65-14. Appalachian over Kirby, 21-13. And out of Tallahassee, Florida. Returning to their winning ways of Rattlers, 23. Albany State. As stay tuned to Black College Sports every Sunday morning, right here on the world, according to you. All right there, Black College Sports. You can get it better than your newspaper, better than ESPN. I know the HBCUs are growing, but we got it all right here on the world, according to Drew. I tell you how two of my favorite people on the radio together. I tell you, Diane Harrell is my homeboy out here in Dallas. And you're my homegirl, my neighbor, my good friend, lifelong. I've probably been knowing you as long as I've been knowing myself. So
we grew up together in Carver City.
That's right. Stay right next door to my grandmother. Boy, those were some good times. Yeah. Look, I'm going to bring you back for a bit. Harold, listen here. My grandmother used to sell frozen cups. You remember those days, Diane?
Yeah,
I tell you, I'm guilty. I used to eat up all the profit. All that. Whoo, Lord.
Yeah. Looks like as far as the college football, looks like we're looking forward to having a winning season by beating the Rattlers in the Classic. So
right.
At this point, that's about all we have to look forward to because we're 0-2.
Will that be your school's Super Bowl? Basically, as long as they beat the Rattlers,
that's,
you okay, huh?
Exactly.
Well, I'm gonna let you know. Andrew has broken me in on this for years. So I try to listen closely. I never know every week if they won or lost because in Andrew's eyes, they always win, and I understand.
Oh, yeah.
So I will be listening for the Bethune Rattler game to see how that game goes.
if we win that, it's a winning season if we win that game.
I got you. But you know what? In the spirit of Black College football, Harold, that is something that, you know, every state has their own personal rivalry. And at the end of the month here, or actually October 1st, and we're going to have some tickets, so tell people to listen. There are certain things that we'll be asking about Black College football. And if you answer the question correctly, you will get a set of tickets to the Al Lipscomb State Fair Classic. And, Diane, I was hoping that the Bucks in Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay and the Cowboys eventually would play during that weekend because I've never seen it. I know how our rivalries are. But if you could put the FAMU and Bethune-Cookman game together at something like the fair, and our fair here in Dallas is supposed to be the world's largest fair in the States. There are 80,000 people that come through the turnstiles. Fair alone, you have another 30-something thousand So you have 100,000 folks at the, in the fair complex.
Wow.
And I want to share this to make you all laugh. When I first got here, I had never seen turkey leg other than with gravy on it and they pull the meat when we were eating it. Well, people walk around with turkey leg, and all I was thinking, man, that's a big old chicken wing. I mean, chicken drumstick. I had no idea it was turkey leg. Because, you know, the first thing you hear coming from out of state, things are much bigger in Texas. Things grow big in Texas. So I'm thinking it was a chicken leg. And I laugh about that all the time. But been here several years now. And even though I missed going to those games, I went for the first time in about 20 years. First time in Orlando. Since they've been to Orlando, I went last year. And I was a good luck charm because I may come back again this year. But here, you know, same swag and everything, and we fight, you know, for the Florida HBCUs among a lot of people who are from Southern, and we're all in the swag now, Southern, Alcorn, Grambling, Texas, Southern, or in Prairie View. You know, they're always bragging, and they hate when we come around, but we definitely show up and show out when we're here. So, I mean, that's good. That's the thing about black college football. You got a friend. You talk about each other and everything, but it's you definitely have a friend, you know, with the relationships. We talk about some of the similarities of our historically black colleges and black colleges and universities. And we, you know, it's just always good and to find out some of the things that they're struggling with we have at our schools. But I'm all about supporting our cause. Our PWIs are training people just as good. But it's always something about that kinship at our HBCUs. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead. Diane, you still there?
Yeah, I was saying anything. I was just agreeing with what you were saying.
Oh, okay. All right. So Harold gets to hear this every week, and it's amazing how I call Harold my brother from another mother. Some of the things that we talk about, Diane, seems like he lived right there, you know, on Archer LaSalle Street, and he keeps me going, kind of keep that flame blowing for me. But I appreciate it. Sound like you're in the car. Y'all headed out already?
No.
Oh, that's Harold's car. Okay.
I thought you was talking to me, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but that's good. Yeah, I had mentioned something to you, but it's all good. Again, Diane, thank you so much. We're here every Sunday, so you got the number trying to do dial in. I may ask you to tell us what's going on in Tampa.
Okay. I'll try to remember to dial in. May have to. I put on the calendar.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And let me go.
We'll talk some more before the day's out. All right.
Okay.
But thank you for being a part of the world, according to Drew. Okay.
Okay. All right, then. Have a good day.
All right. You too, man. Now, Harold, you talking about bringing back the bacon and the eggs. That's for my past there. Did we lose Harold? I guess he got us muted again.
No, I had it on mute because I was waiting on my ride to pull up. But, yeah, I'm still with you. I'm going to be doing more listening while we're on our way. But
yes. So, again, everybody, where were you 9/11, 21 years ago? That's one question that we want to find out. And the other question is about the monarchy over in England. Is it viable? Is it ceremoniously supported? What's your thought? All you got to do is press 1. I don't know if I'm having some technical difficulties with this morning.
Oh, I was going to ask you that. Did you see it when I hit it and unqueued earlier when you asked me that?
No, I did not.
I did it and then undid it like you asked me to.
Okay, I don't want to refresh and not knock everybody off. But I would just go, I see one of our favorite people, and I know they got something to say. I just love when they got something to say. None other than the Hall of Famer, Miss Cheryl Smith. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, sorry to sound like you were just resting. I know the soothing sound of my voice helps you sleep better on Sunday morning. That I do understand. But we having a great time this morning. I want also to, folks, if you want to catch some of these SWAC games, go to HBCU. I forgot the acronym, the total acronym yesterday. But came in very clear, and you can see it's in its infancy stages. They have Charlie Neal, who used to do BET games. He's the main leader for the broadcast now. And it's going to be free TV, so check it out, folks. You can catch a lot of your – they're also, for those who are in the Dallas area, they're going to be doing the Prairie View Grambling game on HBCU TV, and you all just continue to support our HBCUs. I tell you, money's getting tighter, but the kids, the enrollment is up at a lot of our schools. I know, fam, you started out a little slow with some of their instances, but it was good to see the kids out there in the game on yesterday. Cheryl, our question, can you remember what you were doing on 9/11 21 years ago? Okay. It's hard to hear you.
Oh, it is? Okay. Oh, good reason. Okay. That's what happens. But I know you can hear me better now. But
oh,
I was
absolutely
driving. I was driving to teach a class at Texas Woman's University, and I remember getting to the class and telling them the story that I had them writing about would probably be the biggest story of their lifetime. And I laughed because there have been so many moments after that that are larger, actually.
Absolutely.
But, I just wanted them to see the gravity of it. And I taught class that day, and I remember driving home, and it's like an hour drive. And I remember that a guy was trying to flirt with me on the highway.
Okay.
And I said, does he realize what's going on? You know, and I just remember expressing to students over and over again how important it is for them to, whatever they wanted to be, because some people wanted to be, you know, they wanted to be Skip Murphy or Tom Joyner or Dee McGuire. And I said, guess what? I said, when those towers were hit, people didn't want to hear music. They wanted information. And you have to be able to know how to deliver it. You have to
absolutely
be able to be up on topics and have, you know, discussions about them. So that's what I was doing that day. And, again, I laugh about just telling them this will probably be the biggest story of your lifetime, because I would venture to say that Obama being elected, that was before Hurricane Katrina.
Correct.
That was before, there have been so many things since that have been, I consider, bigger. That was before the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
There just been so many things happen. That was before Trayvon Martin. That was before George Floyd.
Okay.
So there have been a lot of big stories. And I do remember that the day before I actually gotten a call from NFL Grambling State great Doug Williams, and he was giving me his prediction, because that was on a Tuesday morning, and that Saturday Florida A&M was meeting Grambling State University.
In Cincinnati.
Yes, and so Coach was giving me his prediction, so I said, okay. And we ended up not playing that game, and we didn't play until 20 years later.
Right.
And that was last year at homecoming, and FAMU was victorious. And that same NFL great, I tried calling him. I waited until like the fourth quarter to call him to gloat, probably.
Right.
And he wouldn't answer the phone.
Well, you know, call ID gives us away anyway, so sometimes you might need to call from another phone or look, and I definitely don't answer any block calls. So, really, but you know, Cheryl, we called that last year the epic return. You know, you talked about stories that were had the same magnitude as that what we encountered 21 years ago, but then since with the pandemic and when football was starting back, especially among our HBCUs, that was big news. It allowed us to breathe a little bit better. People still were a little putting themselves at risk to a certain point, but we're learning to live. And, you know, me being in the business that I am, I'm constantly testing just to make sure, you know, everything is fine. Because as we live with this, we may have it and not even know it. But I got to get away from God. I love that word. We should have received. You should have received some of those government kits. Test yourself periodically, especially if you have some simples, things of that nature. And not only are you saving your life, but you're saving the lives of the people who you come in contact with. That's how we have to look at it now. Because we say, well, I don't have it and may have symptoms, and then now your family is now affected by that. So let's be cautious of what we do and how we go about it, but then be extra sensitive to the loved ones that you come in contact with when you get home.
Yes, definitely.
But I'm just so excited for Black College Football. It's back. We're going to be making a few games. I know Texas Southern and Southern are going to be here in Arlington. So we support all our HBCUs. Folks, please get your information and your tickets. And also the station I told you all is actually a website called HBCU Go, where you can get a lot of your historically Black colleges and universities on the line. So we're keeping up with all this streaming and everything. If I'm not mistaken, I think Byron Allen, who used to be, I forgot the name of the show he was on, but he was a comedian. And he's pushing this TV project to support our HBCUs, or showcase our HBCUs. Now, Cheryl, the second part of the question is about the monarchy. Do you think it's viable? Or is this a thing of the past? Or how much would Charles, how much control or how much prestige would he have? I would say control of the England population or England surroundings.
Well, historically, and folks could beg to differ, but if you look at the movement that has been going on even most recently, and you think of a monarchy, it just seems like that time is passing over us. And colonialism is a vicious thing. And, you know, when you think about, you know, what has happened and who has been, like, colonialized, you can look, when we go to Africa, you can look at by the language that folks speak. Why are people speaking French in Senegal and Cameroon? And why are they speaking English in places like Nigeria? Because of colonial, and you got to look at our colonizers, you know, that word became very popular during Black Panther. And you consider who has had rule over us, who has dominated places in the world, and people are revolting against colonizers. And then also you have to look at, you have her successor who a lot of people don't even take seriously. You know, it's like, you know, people never thought it would come a time that it would come to a time like this where you have to look and say, oh, this is the king, you know, because his life has been, there's still a cloud over his life. There's right. still a cloud over his life because of his first wife. So, but what I'm hearing is, you know, it's interesting thing, when world leaders die, you're going to get mixed reactions. And they're the people who, you know, oh, the queen is dead, oh, the queen is dead. And then they're the ones who are dancing and celebrating, like when they said the witch was dead and the Wiz or Wizard of Oz or whatever. And because they know that she profited so much off of the backs of others. And but interesting, people get upset. I guess they don't want to call her like they want to call others who they say were dictators. But what is a monarchy? And was she dictating? Did she oppress people? Did she take their riches? So there are people, when you look around the world, there are people who are happy she's gone. But who is going to step in? And that's a subject for us when you see that historians, there's a noted historian, Dr. Greg Carr, for example, who are talking about the queen, the queen's rule. And you talk about 70 years, some people say 70 years of oppression. But what we need to look at, there are people around the world who think that our leaders, certain of our leaders, have been dictators and have been tyrants. And they have a negative feeling about them based on how we've treated other countries.
Correct.
And we have not been good. America has not been good to Africa. America has not been good to parts of the world that are heavily of color. And we have to realize that's why when we can go certain places around the world and find that people are sensitive to us. They may hate America, but they don't hate Black people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say we are victims. And, you know, there are so many subjects as we even get ready. I know there's going to be a lot of television coverage of Queen Elizabeth II. And, you know, we got a lot riding on November 8th. And we have to get engaged, involved, do our research, get inspired. We have to find a way to get people who are of voting age to get out and vote, because we have some people who are, history is going to show that they were devastating to society. And it would be devastating to society for us to send Herschel Walker to the nation's capital. It would be devastating. History will show that it is devastating to us for Abbott, DeSantis. You know, there are so many others for the rule in Mississippi to continue. And we can change that with our vote. We can change that by getting up and voting, taking people to the polls, being educated on the issue. We can make some very important steps that will make it easier for us to capture the White House in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we will also make it easier for Biden and Harris to make some really strategic moves, because this impacts us. Folks say, oh, my vote didn't count. Your vote counted right to the overthrow of Roe v. Wade.
Mm-hmm.
Because the right vote years ago would have kept the Supreme Court from having the folks. There would be people who were sitting on the Supreme Court right now who would not be there.
Correct.
You have
absolutely
people getting more time in jail for yelling at police during a Black Lives Matter rally, getting 4 years, and you have people who stormed the nation's capital getting 6 months, a year. Something is wrong, and we need to call it out, but we also need other people who don't look like us to call it out. There's so much going on in the world, and, you know, I wake up every day thinking, what do I have to do to make this world a better place?
Absolutely.
And it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort, and I want to use this opportunity to say, if there's anyone listening, and I had to dispel a myth to someone, because not only do we think that I like to say it in my way and let you do some homework when I say that all ice is 32 degrees Fahrenheit. You take that home and unpack it and get what I'm saying. But I had to tell someone because they said, well, you know, the black press can't pay what New York Times or the Dallas Morning News or the L.A. Times get paid. I said, wait a minute, let me stop you. You don't even know the salaries of those places. And I can tell you, you think because some people are so happy to work a place that they will fake it and shake it around you. But a lot of those places are not paying. You know, everybody, you have people who have worked 30 years and you would think they're making six figures because they're at one of those places, and they aren't. Everybody is not. And there have been times when I have paid people at, I'm not going to say little old, but at celebrating 10 years, iMessenger Media, and I have paid more than a lot of newspapers, and that's not even the entire point. But we automatically assume that that ice is colder, which it doesn't get colder because it's at that point. And we automatically assume that you're going to get paid more, you're going to get treated better. And I just caveat, I use that as a caveat to say that I am looking to hire. But I'm looking to hire just as if I were at any other institution that I've worked at or taught at. And I say, I'm looking for quality people. I'm looking for someone, especially I'm looking for someone in the office. And I'm looking for someone who comes to work, looks at it as a career, wants to grow, wants to learn, but also has a skill set that knows can manage the office, can make sure everything is in order, to be there on time, and to realize that they will be rewarded for good work ethic. And they're going to be paid a a decent salary, and there are expectations. I don't want someone who comes and wants to tell me, this is what I need, this is what I need, this is what I need, but don't tell me anything about what they bring to the table. I need somebody who's a quick thinker, who doesn't have to be told everything. You know, I know we get a lot of people in this generation, and I'm not putting an age on it, but you get a lot of people who don't want to be wrong, don't want to mess up, so they don't do anything unless you tell them. You give them an assignment. They want you to come back. They want you to tell them. And I tell folks, Google is a good friend to have. Go ask them almost anything. If you want to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, Google would put it in now. How do you make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? You're going to get over 6 million hits. The places, because there are different ways that you can make one. You can put the peanut butter on the bread first. You can put the jelly on it first. You can cut the ends off. There's just so many ways that you can do it. But guess what? I need someone who will find answers, not look to me for all the answers. Because if I have to tell you what to do and tell you how to do it, I could do it myself. And so I am looking for someone who values good work ethic, who is not always watching the clock, and who is taking care of business. And I need someone for my office. I'm looking for freelance writers. I'm looking for someone in finance. I'm looking for someone in distribution. Those are the key areas that I am looking for folks in. And do have internships available. But you understand, yes, I do pay for internships, but I do expect for work to be done. I am teaching, doing a lot of teaching, because let's face it, a lot of the schools, you need to ask your professor, and parents who are listening, ask your students, your children, do your professors, when was the last time your professor was in a newsroom?
Mm-hmm.
If ever. Some of them go to undergrad, go to grad school, go on to get their doctorate, and have not done, put in any serious time in a newsroom. We have wonderful opportunities for you, and I am looking for someone, and I encourage them to email me. I am so serious about it. I'm looking for it today. PenOnFire2@gmail.com. And if you have someone who, you know, this entitlement, you have to put it aside. You know, I love what you talk about sports. I love what the character that Coach Prime is trying to build in his children. And if you saw the clip on Metro News last week where he's telling them what he expects them to do in class, everything down to he don't want you sitting at the back of the classroom. And he doesn't want you not taking care of business and wearing the JSU football team, a shirt, a logo on anything that you have. He expects a certain work ethic out of you, and that's what I expect and I hope to build. I'm trying to rebuild the team. We've had some losses. You know, I do need some writers, but I need you to be very meticulous and very strategic about what you ask for, because you have to realize what the industry is asking for. You can't be like the college sophomore that asked me for $2,000 a week. If I hired her for the year, she's talking about making over $100,000. I know people who've been in the business 20 and 30 years don't make it, and they work for majority white institution. So that's something to think about. PenOnFire2@gmail.com. Email me right now if you're interested, if you know someone who is interested. Have them email me. You don't have to email me for them, because that's a first sign that maybe they can't do what they need to do. And too often we have parents who even today will speak for their kids. You ask them how the child's right there and say, how old are you? Now, if the child is 18 months, I could see the parent saying something. But as a parent of 16, you don't need to tell me how old a child is. Teach your child to open their mouth and speak up when somebody's speaking to them about them. So that's my spiel for the day. And you got to be careful what you ask for, because it is 56 minutes after the hour, 4 minutes before the top of the hour. And here we are in the world according to Drew.
Thank you so much. Something to think about, folks.
A lot to think about, and I hope you have someone there. Everyone does not have a job. But guess what? Everybody does not want to work either. And that's fine. Just don't come this way. Stay where people who don't want to work are. Don't get a job and bemoan it. People ask me, what do I do for fun? This is fun right now. Everywhere I go, if I can't have fun doing whatever I do, I stop. And interesting, someone just texted me talking about the cloud of colonialism, because that's what sticks in our mind. We always celebrate a queen. People, well, when they first said the queen is dead, there were people in their right minds who said, Aretha died years ago. You know, and they asked Latifah, because guess what? She is more, those Queen Latifah, Queen Aretha Franklin were more important to us. And we got to decide what is important to us and why, and what is not important to us, and why should we look at what the Queen Elizabeth II and her rule has done and just say never again. You got 2 minutes, Andrew. Inhale. Did I lose them? Because I will run out the clock on you. Okay. I don't know what has happened, so we'll just get ready. Andrew, Harold. Yes, I dropped the mic.
Whatever I do, whatever I say, just don't have to.